Hello, and welcome to the GIST Podcast 7. I'm Sydney Kaysen, and I'm here with several other GISTers today to deliver another one of our Science Bites, hot out of the oven.
I'm Josh Marsh.
And I'm Emily Steinmark.
I also just realized that we promised Barry Robertson would be with us today. Unfortunately, he had another time conflict.
Life as a PhD student. So what are we discussing today?
This is another really cool topic. One of the people we interviewed at the Explorathon was Fiona Acker, a researcher at University of Glasgow's very prestigious Institute of Molecular Cell and Systems Biology.
You're going to have to bear with us a bit in this podcast. Fiona's research involves some very abstract concepts, so much so that we asked to meet with her a second time to make sure that we understood everything.
Fiona makes computer models of parasite metabolisms. You've probably heard the term metabolism in reference to weight loss and stuff like that. In biology, the term metabolism refers to the complex systems of chemical reactions that fuel life.
Fiona's field involves the investigation of these life-giving chemical reactions, specifically the small chemical compounds, called metabolites, which are involved in the processes.
So what I'm doing is I build computer model of parasites, and the idea is that I make them as close as I can to the real parasite so that I can figure out a way to kill them.
What we're using it for is really as a tool to understand the cell metabolism. And then the idea is that the more you understand it, the more you can find good drug targets.
Finding drug targets sounds like drug design, doesn't it?
It's not very applied, it's very fundamental type of research. So
it's hard to completely separate this sort of thing from drug design. However, it's very easy to fall into the trap of oversimplification. What we're trying to avoid is conveying this mental image of someone coming up with large reaction maps and then pointing to some junction explaining, there, that's how we kill this parasite.
So it's at a more fundamental level. Does that mean we're looking at specific proteins and things, though?
I mean, if you're thinking about zooming in and out, you have to zoom out a little bit. Okay. I'm not dealing with protein structure, three-dimensional. For me, that's I'm not at the atom level. You have to consider one cell. So I'm not considering molecules individually. I'm considering groups, concentrations of molecule in particular cell or organelle. And then trying to see, model how fast they're going to be consumed or transformed into something else, and so on.
You may be wondering what all these models actually look like. They model metabolic pathways in parasites and involve maths, but what does that mean exactly?
I mean, it's an equation that describes the enzyme's kinetics, so the rate at which an enzyme works, really. So it's not new. It dates back from, essentially the 50s for the really what we are using. The most well-known equation, which is sort of the basis of this, is Michaelis and Menten equation. So that's really that's where it all starts up.
In order to really understand this subject on more than an abstract level, one would need quite a bit of study, but we can at least try to explain the Michaelis-Menten equation. Proposed in 1913 by Michaelis and Menten, the equation seeks to predict the rate at which specific enzymes can work. In other words, how fast an enzyme can pump out its product. To put it a bit simply, you can saturate an enzyme in a large amount of its substrate and then measure the concentration of product over time. There's some math involved in analyzing the graph, but you get the idea. It's not a new equation, but it's still used in measuring how quickly enzymes work.
The first type of model you would have are just maps, but then after that you can add some data to make it more dynamic. Instead of having just a static map, you can also measure the flux in the different branches, so how fast each metabolite is being consumed by the cells, like glucose, for example. You can try to find out how fast glucose would be consumed based on different things, you know.
You see, biochemistry is all about reaction rates. We often don't think of things in terms of stopping or starting an enzyme, but more so how much can I speed this up or slow this down? And how will that affect other enzymes around this in the reaction pathway?
So that's what Fiona means by dynamic. This seems very abstract and theoretical, but working with a model would give you a level of control that isn't achievable in a laboratory.
And I think that's the key. The power of using a model like this comes from the level of control that Fiona has over every minute detail in the systems that she builds. Plus, it's possible to try tons of different situations, drugs, and so on, just by altering the computer's model.
The thing is to understand these data, these huge data sets of metabolites, changes, so you compare no drug with the drug, and you look at what's the difference, and you try to figure out where the drug hits based on that. But to do that, you need to know as much as you can about the parasite metabolism. Otherwise, it's like a puzzle and you don't know what's the image or something. I mean, it's very blind. The idea is that the more you understand it, the more you can find good drug targets. But it's also useful for other things. Like, for example, nowadays, when they, in most of the case, when they look for drugs, it's blind screening, so they don't necessarily know what the drug is for. And then after the fact, we're trying to find out what the drug is doing.
What do you mean by blind screening?
Meaning they have libraries of compounds, and they try, they just blindly test on the cells and trying to find which one happened to kill the cell and are not toxic to human cells. So they go through thousands of compounds like that, and when they happen to find something that works, they sort of modify it a bit so that it gets better.
It's random testing.
It's random testing, really, a lot.
So essentially, Fiona is describing an approach that involves screening thousands of possible drugs until you find a few that produce some favorable effect. Then you get to work figuring out how each of those drugs achieve whatever effect you observed.
That may seem like a relatively inefficient way to develop drugs, but that isn't quite a correct comparison.
We shouldn't try and compare the drug screening approach to Fiona's model. The chemical library approach is an incredibly powerful method for identifying novel drugs, and it has yielded plenty of success in the past. By itself, this kind of drug screening will eventually yield results, and it can be combined with the knowledge gained from supplemental experiments and research, which could be guided by Fiona's modeling.
So what Fiona does is not an alternative to massive drug screening, so much as it is a huge aid to experimentalists. These experimentalists can in turn produce more accurate knowledge, which then may, or may not, be useful towards directing methods involved in drug design.
Knowing the exact layout of your model as well as working with something that is abstract and theoretical isn't necessarily a detriment. You can do some interesting things to a model that you couldn't do with real drugs being tested on real cells.
So another thing that you mentioned is that you can try drugs on your models even if they don't exist.
Yes.
Well,
because it's a model, so it's all in the computer. So if I want to decide that this particular step in the pathway of parasites works only 10% of its normal capacity, nothing stops me. I can do it even if there's no actual drug that would do that yet.
So are you saying that you can kind of mess with certain parameters with parasites?
Yes.
And then if you decide that that parameter does something you like, then someone down the road can design a drug that can do that?
Exactly. Or we can look for, sometimes you have a drug that already exists that targets this type of enzyme, for example, but that are not meant for the parasites. So you can also look if there's any of those.
Methodologies like screening libraries allow you to take a bunch of chemicals and figure out which ones do interesting things to whatever organisms you are interested in.
So it's trial and error on a level that's hard to imagine.
Exactly. Because she uses an abstract model and not real organisms, Fiona can take a back-end approach. She's able to study and directly adjust different parameters in her models and can then identify which parts of the metabolic pathways to target and in what ways to adjust them in order to get a desired effect. These targets can then be passed on to experimentalists who can figure out how to implement the manipulation of these target parts of the metabolome.
With all this talk about developing ways to kill parasites, you may be wondering why they are so difficult to kill in the first place.
It's less to do with killing the parasite, and more to do with coming up with a drug that both kills the parasite and can be safely administered to a human.
How would you define one part of metabolism as being more?
Well, it depends what your goal is. I mean, here we are looking at parasites, so our idea is to kill them. So when we mean it's more important, we mean if you mess with it, the parasite's gonna die. And ideally, it's not as important for the host, so you won't damage the person taking the drugs.
I like the way you said that. If you mess with it, the parasite's gonna die.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not that with all drug making, the problem is never to kill the parasite or bacteria or whatever you're looking at. The problem is to do it without damaging the person, because I mean, if you put bleach, the parasites will die. I don't recommend that as a.
That's pretty intense.
It is, but it's such an interesting topic, demonstrating the often overlooked intersection of biology and computer science, as well as the power of basic research. If you are interested, feel free to check out our references for more information.
Thank you all for listening, and we hope that you'll join us for the next podcast episode.
Before we sign off, if you have an interesting topic in mind, or are yourself a researcher and would like to interview with us, please email us at editor@the-gist.org.
Tune in next time!
I think that was better.
Yeah.
The second run.
It was.
Yeah.